Good morning. Take your Bibles and let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Singing that old song, I remember that. My dad had a song director in his church, Brother Richard Gallabies, and he always picked songs that nobody else knew, because he wanted us to learn new songs. And every now and then he'd sing one that we all knew. But he tried to teach us the whole songbook. So I loved old songs, old hymns. We're going to talk today about the explosive power of God's Word. I know Dr. Weaver's teaching in Revelation, and he told me to just do my own thing because he's got a series that he's doing, and he don't want me to mess it up. So, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So God's word abideth forever. I remember my dad, he would always say, there's no other book but the Bible. Don't get caught up into all these other books. I don't know if you ever go to the bookstore, but you can go to the bookstore. And books, these books nowadays cost, you know, $20 to $30 to buy a book. And I got a lot of books, and she don't like all of my books. They take up too much room. But you can go back a year later, and that book that you paid $28 for, it's on the clearance rack, you know, for $1.88. So just hold off a little bit and you can get you a good deal. But the Bible is the only book that's stood its course. It's the only book that's alive. We'll talk about that today. There's a lot of books. There's a book called The Color of Your Personality. And What Color is Your Brain? Y'all heard about that? There's some kind of little test on Facebook or something where you take it and it tells you what color you are. You know, where you're blue or yellow or whatever. And there's another book called Spiritual Temperaments. I'm sure y'all have heard of that one. I know a famous guy that wrote it. He's a doctor and a PhD and all these things, but all that is humanism. And Greek philosophy is not biblical. See, the Bible tells you when you get saved, you have the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. And that's what should guide our life. Those fruit of the Spirit that's there in Galatians. And sometimes we get caught up. I know I probably made some of you mad right then, but that's okay. That's just my opinion. So, way back in the 1800s, there's another deal that was called phrenology. It means mind, knowledge of the mind. It was a bestseller hundred years ago. And what phrenology is, it was once considered a science. It's developed by a German doctor named Joseph Gall. And he focused on the personality and the character. And he would feel of your skull and from the lumps and the waves determine your personality by feeling of your head. It would be interesting for him to feel of my head. Because my wife says, hit me so many times with a skillet, I got a lot of lumps on the head. Well, not really. It was a broomstick. No. She's not that mean. But that book is fallen by the wayside, because most of you have never heard of it. Voltaire was a famous French infidel. He was known as a deep thinker, a persuasive orator. Many people listened to him. He talked about his rival, who was Sir Isaac Newton. Sir Isaac Newton was a Christian who sat under the apple tree one day, and he discovered gravity when an apple hit him on the head. Phrenology, lump on his head. Well, that wasn't even around then, so. He said that men would soon travel around the world because he believed the Bible, what Daniel said. And Voltaire called him a doting fool. Voltaire said that men would have to travel 40 miles an hour to go around the earth, and that your heart would cease to beat and your body would not function. Kind of interesting, huh? Now, we fly, get around pretty quick nowadays. On his death, he said that the Bible would only be found in museums and in the archives of libraries within 100 years. And he died in 1778, and his nurse said, "For all the wealth of Europe, I would not see another infidel die." His doctor said that he cried with utter desperation. And here's what he said: "I am abandoned by God and men. I will give you half of what I'm worth if you will give me 6 months of life. Then I shall go to hell and you shall go with me. Oh Christ, oh Jesus Christ." He stated also earlier that in 20 years Christianity will be no more. "My single hand will destroy the edifice it took 12 apostles to rear." And he tried to do that. He wrote 20,000 letters, more than 2,000 books and pamphlets. And upon his death, his house was sold to the Geneva Bible Society, where his printing press was used to print scripture. God said, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. It liveth and abideth forever." You see, it's God's word that makes a difference in man's life. That's what matters, is God's word. But somehow we want something more. We want something. And books are good. I got a lot of books. Books help. Sometimes they help you understand the Bible, some commentaries that you may read. But the Bible is what's important. It's God's word. Never changes. Man's ideas and man's glories and philosophies and talents and abilities and all his brilliancy that he has spring up like the grass and like flowers, and as time passes, they fade away and are completely forgotten. But God's word stands forever. Some famous guy said, "Open the Bible and we open the mind of God." I like that statement that Dr. Barber always makes. He says that as it is written, it's the book. It's in the book, and God wrote the book. We'll always remember those statements from Dr. Barber. As sure as day follows night, night follows day, God still lives, and the Bible is right. We all know those statements. See, God's word is unique among all books and all writings. Above all other books and all other writings, God's word has stood. You see, because the reason it stood is because it's the only book that's living. It's alive. Hebrews chapter 4. We all know this verse. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God's word is alive. It says it even in our text that we read. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. Their grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel was preached unto you. Verse 23 is what I was looking for. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So God's word is the only book that's alive. It's the only book that changes man. Man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said in Matthew 4, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's like the preacher that decided to go through the Bible with his church. So he starts in Genesis, and he had bought one of those loose leaf Bibles where you could put pages in it. I got one of those. You can take it apart, and you can insert your notes and stuff in it. And that way, you just flip the page. And so he's up preaching from Genesis. And he said, and Adam said to Eve, and he said that Adam said to Eve, it looks like a leaf's missing. Y'all get it later, some of you. So we need every page. Every word of God is true. Every page, every book, all of God's word is true. The Bible contains 66 books. 1,189 chapters. 31,175 verses. 810,677 words is in God's word. All of God's word is true. You see, it's God's word that changes man. All of God's word must be embraced. Every page, every chapter, every book, every word. It's unique in that it imparts life. Not only is God's word alive, but it gives forth life. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. When I came to Christ, I became a new creature in Christ. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things became new in my life. Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you hath he quickened. That means made alive. You see, a dead man, when you go to the funeral home, nothing affects that guy laying there. When my dad died, we all went to the funeral home, and he didn't listen to any of us. He didn't comment on anything we said. If he had been alive, he probably would have, some of the things that were said. But nothing affected him. He didn't smell any food. You see, that's the way a lost man is before he comes to Christ. He can't see the light. He can't see Jesus. You see, it's up to me and you to give the gospel to where men can see Christ. And the only way we can do that is by telling them who Jesus is, his attributes. He's love. If I tell men who Jesus is and get them to see a holy, righteous God, man will cry out to God for forgiveness and for mercy. So it's unique in that it imparts life. Remember, Ezekiel went down into the valley of dry bones? And we wrote a little song about it. The foot bone connected to the ankle bone. Remember that song? And them bones, them dry bones. But he went down in the valley and God told him to preach to the bones. Then he said, prophesy to the wind. You see, when I was quickened, when I was made alive, the Holy Spirit came in. And that's what Jesus tried to describe to Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he didn't understand it. He didn't understand what he was talking about the wind. But it's the Holy Spirit that comes in to a man's life and lives and changes us. God's word will continue to impact you throughout your whole life, in all areas, in your thought life, in your weaknesses, in your marriage, in your business. God's word changes us daily. Is there dryness in your life? Then go to the scripture. Go to God's word. God's word brings about change. It's unique in that it will change you. It changes you. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So he says, just like the rain comes down and waters a barren land, and the flowers come up, and the grass comes up, and it gives it life. That's what God's word does for me and you. And he says his word will not return void. Will not return void. That's why God pleads with you and me to teach God's word, to study God's word, to know God's word. Teach it to your children. He begged us to do that. He wanted us to do that. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You remember that lawyer that came to Jesus? And that's what Jesus told him. He said, what is the great commandment? And this is what the guy said. If I were to ask you, do you love God? Everybody in here would say, yes, I love God. I hope everybody would. But he said, the second commandment, the second one is love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a little harder, isn't it? It's easy to love God. It's a little harder to love your neighbor as yourself. But I want you to think about this. And I'm talking to me too. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind? I think the only one that's ever been able to do that was Jesus here on earth. Because we all fail to love the Lord that way. But that's what he's commanded us to do, to love him that way. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. We need to share God's word with our family, with our children. Not politics, philosophy, religion, self-helps, read this book, the do's and don'ts about society, but we need to teach them God's word. See, our children needs God. They need God's word. They need a verse. Sorry. Our grandchildren's going to need a verse. A verse a day, a verse a week. Because it's the power of God's word that changes us. That's what changes our life. It's incorruptible. Sometimes you ever preach at them? That's what I do. I preach at them. Give them a verse. See, it's easier for me to preach at them and to preach at those around me. But if you don't do it in love, it's not gonna get anywhere. If our children see that we love the Lord and that verse means something to us, then it'll change their life. Maybe you won't see it right off the bat. Maybe you won't see it until later on. And then you'll see it. My daughter was reading something that she wrote about abortion last night. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. It finally sunk in. It's catching on. So sometimes it's not preaching at them, but it's just give them a verse in a loving way. What if I believe that God's word changes lives? If I really believe that, and if you really believe that, we would make sure we read it every day. We'd make sure that that's priority. We'd make sure this is the book that matters. I would have a steady stream of God's word coming out in every situation that comes across. I'd have a verse. God's word, he says, will not return void. It's like your garden. I mean, I've planted gardens. My dad, we had a big garden. I mean, I thought he was trying to feed everybody because I had to work it. You know, when you got 9 kids and I'm number 2 and all girls around, I had to work the garden. All my brothers, they were too little, you know. So I worked this big garden. We got married, and my wife says, I want a garden. I said, there's a spot. Go dig it up. There's stuff at the grocery store. We can go buy it. It took me a few years to decide to have a garden. And, you know, if you don't water that garden and weed it, it's not going to produce. The weeds will come up and choke it out, and the sun will dry it up. It needs water. It's like our life. If we don't read God's word and study it and meditate on it, we're going to dry up. God's word needs to saturate our life. It needs to saturate our life. I'm going to read you a verse that some of you may not have ever read. You ever read and you're flipping pages and then all of a sudden you're like, I don't even know what I'm reading because your mind's somewhere else. You ever read the Bible that way? I've caught myself, you know, and you'll be reading along and then, man, what did I just read here? And you go back and it's all brand new, like I was somewhere else. And that's probably how you read this verse. Same way. It's a funny story, actually. And you might remember it because it is a funny story. 2 Kings 13 and verse 20. And Elisha died. Y'all remember Elisha? He asked for a double portion of what Elijah had. And he died and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass as they were burying a man that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. So here these guys are going to bury this guy. And they seen a band coming and they just threw him in there. Threw him in the sepulcher with Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. You know, And then it goes and it says, but Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days. And you're like, what? Well, I want to know what happened to these guys when this guy got up on his feet. In Mississippi, we'd have took off running. That's just a funny story. Man, Elisha was so saturated with God's word, even his dry bones, when they touched his God, touched him, he revived. Could you imagine people around you knowing that you love the Lord that way? And maybe they don't like you at work, but when trouble comes, I know who to talk to. I'm going to go talk to that guy that knows the Bible, that knows the Lord. Wouldn't that be something? That'd be awesome. If I believe the Bible that way. Do you believe the Bible that way? Claims that Scripture makes about itself. The Bible claims that it's infallible. Totality of Scripture. It's no mistakes. It's without error. I love Psalms 19. Psalms 19, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Do y'all know that song? It's all the verses and the choruses in verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. That's how I learned these verses for a class at Tennessee Temple. I learned the song. We'd sing it on the bus route. I worked in the bus ministry, so somebody said, don't you know that song? I said, no. So I learned that song and sang it on the bus route so I could say it, write it in my class. But the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. That's what I need that. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So it's God's word. It's perfect, sure, it's right, clear, clean, and true. It's without error, no mistakes. Psalms 119, verse 160 says, the word, thy word is true from the beginning. True from the beginning. You see, people say, well, that Bible was written so many years ago. There's so many mistakes in it by now. And it's full of contradictions. But what's so funny is you give them the Bible and say, well, just show me some of those, you know. Nobody ever shows you anything, but they just tell you what somebody else has said and what they've heard somebody say. You see, when the scribes would sit down and the priests would sit down and they would write Scripture, they would check the line, check every dot and every T. Then they'd have somebody else to check it. That's why it was so right. That's why we have God's word. When they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, it was exactly like what we have. How was that? Because they were so careful in writing God's word. You see, we have God's word in this book we call the Bible. He promised that all Scripture would be fulfilled. It cannot be broken. God's word is inerrant. That means it's without error. The time has gone by, so every word of God is pure. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, it means it's flawless. Each individual part, not only every part, but every word. It's authoritative, God's word, there's many verses. It's complete, It's effective. We saw that in Isaiah chapter 55, the effect that God's word has. It says he will not return void, but it accomplishes its intended purpose. And that's what God said. You see, one day we'll stand before God and the books will be open, and this is one book that's going to be there. And I'm just thankful to the Lord that I'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and not at the great white throne judgment. But we'll stand at the Bema seat and give an account for what we did for him. I remember a preacher coming to our church one time, and my dad didn't know any better. I didn't know any better either. But he talked about standing before God and your life's going to be put on the screen, and every sin that you've done and everything that you've done is going to be put before everybody. But I'm so glad I continued to study the Bible and found out that's not true. That all my sins are under the blood. And none of my sin are going to be brought up. But what's going to be brought up is, what did you do for Jesus? Well, that's going to be an embarrassing time. What did we do for him? So let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. What a blessing it is to know you and to be able to read your word and see what you did for us and how you want us to live and how we're to walk daily. Lord, I pray that you'll help each one of us in our life to make the Bible priority, the explosive power of your word. Lord, I pray that you'll just help us to bind it up on our heart, teach it to our children, to our grandchildren, to our friends. In Jesus' name, amen.